I want to welcome you back to Yachts, the Perfect Escape Vehicle. Today we're talking to our guests, Stephen and Estelle Cocroft, who have over 50,000 miles, maybe it's even more than that, cruising around. And guys, I wanted to ask you, how much experience did you both have before you left on your cruise?
Well, I'd been dabbling in boats most of my young adult life. I owned a few Hobie Cats, and I'd done a few cruises and crewed on a couple of racing keelboats. Not terribly much, but I'd always wanted to sail around the world on a 45-foot sailboat. So I decided the best thing to do would be to build my own boat and learn on my own boat, which is what we did. We spent about 8 months after the boat was launched sailing up and down the South African seaboard. We took an instructor on board for about 4 or 5 days. Truth is, I'd done very few overnight passages before we actually left on the voyage, but understood the boat very well because we'd lived aboard it for a couple of months and really understood it. So when we left, quite frankly, the experience was very, very limited. Let Estelle tell you about her experience.
Yeah, I had absolutely no experience. I went on faith in my husband that he would know what to do. In hindsight, that was probably a very dumb thing to do for me. But honestly, I think that gave me the stupid courage to just say, we're doing it. We're getting on, we're sailing, and I learned on the go. Stephen is a fantastic teacher. Taught me about how to set the sails, you know, just generally learning the boat on the go. And that, in my experience, is the best way to do it.
Estelle learned by osmosis. You know, just to give you an example of how experienced she was, we left Cape Town and we were headed around the Cape of Good Hope, which is a well-known cape in the Southern Hemisphere, headed towards the False Bay, and we'd been sailing for about 12 hours, and it started getting dark. And Estelle came up and asked me when we were going to stop so she could have a bath and cook some food. And when I informed her that we weren't stopping in the foreseeable future, as there was nowhere to stop and our anchor chain wasn't 2,000 foot long, she was actually quite horrified.
Yeah, an anchor had absolutely no meaning to me whatsoever.
You thought it was probably a plow that you'd plow the field with, right?
Indeed.
Because you grew up on a farm, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Wow. I didn't even know how to swim when we left.
Wow. Estelle, what would you say to most women who have a fear about leaving their friends, family, and comfortable home? Isn't that a big issue for most women?
Gary, yes. You know, at first I was a little skeptical about going. You know, I love my friend, my girlfriends. I had a nice big home, wonderful big kitchen, etc., etc. But once I got on the boat and started living the lifestyle, you could not get me back in an apartment or a home. You know, I feel comfortable about it. I wasn't scared because I learned pretty quickly about how to sail the boat, how to handle the boat myself, how to drive the boat. So once I understood that, I honestly just took to it like a duck to water, I suppose.
Now, wait a second. You didn't know how to swim and you're out in the middle of the ocean? I mean, how did you get over that?
It was a pretty good sales job.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, Stephen pushed me in the water a few times, and, you know, I just learned to swim.
Wow.
And eventually, actually, in the Red Sea, we went diving with, what was it, Stephen?
Poseidon's Quest, the dive boat.
Yeah, they were on an adventure there with scientists researching sharks, and, you know, I actually went diving.
Wow, and now you were telling me the other day about some swimming cats or something. What is that about?
Oh,
it has to do with pets on cruisers.
Yeah, a lot of people like to cruise with pets, and we met an Australian when we were in the Indian Ocean, and he had a cat called Octo, who he'd brought from Australia, and he trained this cat. He had these big, thick ropes hanging on either side of his stern, and if Octo fell overboard, he knew to swim to the back of the boat, grab the rope, and crawl back up onto the boat. And he was busy teaching a new kitten how to do it. And astoundingly, this kitten learnt in almost no time how to reboard if it slipped overboard.
Wow, that's amazing. And you ran into a lot of other people that had pets. What are some of the pets that you saw in your travels?
Well, mostly cats, a lot of dogs. Dogs are a little bit difficult because you have to walk them and give them exercise, whereas cats just lay around like they always do. Obviously their ablutions are a little bit of a problem, but people get over that as well. We ended up with a monkey, but we'll leave that for another segment.
Wait, how did these dogs go to the bathroom? Was there? Did you have a place on the poop deck?
Well, there is a poop deck, and once they identify the place, hopefully you've got a special mat down. That's where they'll always go. Otherwise, you've got to take them ashore. You know, cats are okay because they have a litter box and they're used to that.
What about parrots? Did you see many of them? Not really, huh? Because they carry diseases and.
Yeah, parrots are actually quite, I mean, there are people that had them, but, contrary to popular belief, they're not really good pets on boats. Maybe pirates have them.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about how much this costs. I mean, you hear so many different numbers, and What do you think the least you should budget per year? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how much people spend when they're cruising?
Well, it can be very little or it can be a lot. We got away on very little to start when we were cruising the Indian Ocean. First of all, it's very cheap. You get go a long way with your money. But we lived off the land. Stephen used to go and fish every day. We got fabulous oysters off the rocks. Can you imagine? Fresh oysters every day. We got fruit off the trees, mangoes, papayas. It was a wonderful thing to do.
So it's true. You don't have to be dependent on grocery stores. You can catch your food as you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Indian Ocean particularly, we would catch fish at will. We could dive lobsters. You actually get quite sick of fish eventually. you start looking for beef, chasing goats and cows around on the land.
And the only beef in Madagascar at the time was zebu, as tough as nails. You couldn't eat that.
What is zebu?
Zebu's an ox that you only... It's the only ox that you find in the islands of Madagascar. And it's a beast of burden. They eat it, the whole lot. And it really is tough. But after eating fish for so long, it was a welcome relief. But I just need to tell you that one of the big benefits was, in fact, the rum factory, where you could buy 4 gallons of rum for the equivalent of about $5. So we had a lot of fun in the islands, spicing our own rum and, just basically having rum-making competitions with other cruisers.
Nice. Well, we have to take a short break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Yachts, the perfect escape vehicle, only on Overseas Radio Network.